Having the Rock next Saturday night. I'd like to invite all of you that are here this evening to try out Axis, because I think you'd really enjoy it. This would be a great opportunity. And I'd like to see 300 people here this week, Tuesday night. We've never had 300, so I'd like you to be there with us, and we're going to raise the roof. You like this singing on Tuesday night? We're going to sing longer, and let's just get you there, because it will be a very encouraging time. I promise you. Be there Tuesday evening. You never know, I might even sing a song for you. But anyway, Tuesday night, 7:30, okay? 7:30. Now, last week I was talking about unexpected things, and I'm going to continue that tonight. Actually, this will be the last night. But I want to ask you this question. You don't have to answer it, but have you ever had something happen to you that was completely unexpected that you know you didn't deserve? Like, maybe you were mean to the waitress at your restaurant, and she gave you a free dessert. And as you're eating the dessert, you think to yourself, I didn't deserve this. Why did I get this free dessert? Now, I know a lot of us have had things happen to us that we're sure we didn't deserve, but they were bad things. But I want you to think for a moment this evening of something that's happened to you that you know, I didn't deserve that. It was a wonderful thing. In fact, you probably deserve just the opposite. I want to share with you a little story to illustrate what I want to share with you this evening. My youngest daughter, last summer, she was going to try to attend cosmetology school over at St. Paul Technical College. And I asked her if I could share this, so just in case you're wondering, I got her permission first. So she just turned, I don't think she was 16 at the time. She might have been, I get the dates mixed up. She was 15 or 16. And the state has this law where if you take your last 2 years of high school at college, the state will pay for it. A lot of people don't know about it, and those who do, many don't take advantage of it, but I'm always one to take advantage of what is there to be had, if it's possible to do. So I encouraged Jessica to go do this. So she had to pass these three tests. You have to take these three tests in order to get in. If you don't pass the test, you don't get in. So this is a big deal because it means that Dad's going to save money. That's the bottom line. So she studies during the summer, and she goes to take these tests about August. And she takes the three tests, and they come in, sit down with the counselor afterwards. He says, well, said young lady, you passed one of them, but you didn't pass the other two. He said, well, actually, let me put it this way. If you were going to pay for this, you're fine. You got good enough grades. But because it's post-secondary, you didn't get good enough grades, and so I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to get in. Well, my wife was there, and as time has gone by, my wife's gotten a little bolder with each passing year. So she said, well, in her very sweet way, you just have to know my wife. She said, well, sir, could I ask a question? Could we come back and take those other two tests? Have her pass that one, but come back? And he looked at her and he said, well, you know, I don't usually do things like that. He said, I don't know that I've ever done it before, but he said, sure. You come back and take these tests in about a month. So we'll give you a waiver on this test. You won't have to retake it. You take these other two. So Jessica comes home and she studies. And she goes back for these two tests. Take the test, go and sit down with the same counselor. He says, oh, I'm really sorry, Kathy. Jessica, he said, you passed one, but you didn't pass the other. So my wife, she says a quick prayer. She says, well, I was just wondering, could we retake the one test that she didn't pass and have a waiver on the other two she did? And he looked at Kathy and he said, you know, this is highly unusual. But you know what? He said, I can tell you really want to try this. He said, all right, I'll give you a waiver. You come back around January, take this test. So my daughter, for those of you who don't know, my wife taught the kids at home. She studies one subject for 3.5 months, every day. Same thing, over, 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 and over. Comes January, about 3 weeks before the new semester is going to start. And she goes in to take the test. She takes the test, sits down, the office counselor sits down, he says, I'm really sorry, you didn't pass the test. This is unbelievable. I mean, you know, 3.5 months of studying one subject, you don't even have to get a perfect score, and she doesn't pass the test. So my wife just sits there. She's telling me later, she tells me, no, Mark, I wasn't going to move. I was just praying, Lord, I just pray that he would show mercy to us and let her in anyway. She's got a lot of faith, my wife. So they sit there and the counselor kind of looks. He says, you know, he said, I've never done this. This is unprecedented. But I can tell you really are trying. He said, I'm going to let you in. We're just going to pretend you passed this. I'm going to give you a waiver. You come 3 weeks in and enroll. That was undeserved. That's an example of something that is totally contrary to your expectations. You would never expect, after going there three times, missing three times, that when it's all said and done, the person in power is going to say to you, you know what? I'm going to let you in anyway. And by the way, she did very well once she got in school. God was gracious. God gave us something we did not deserve. And I want to talk with you about that this evening. Undeserved favor. A lot of us here, we expect God to be judgmental. We expect God to be demanding. In fact, if you study almost any other religion other than the Christian religion, here's what you'll discover. All of the gods must be appeased. You have some of the gods, like in the Hawaiian culture, where you'd have to have a human sacrifice, dive into a volcano to appease the angry wrath of the gods. You study the Muslim religion. You study Shintoism. You study Hinduism. The gods are fickle. The gods change from day to day. And they are demanding. Easily irritable. You better watch out. They're going to strike you dead. Here's the irony of the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible gives us exactly the opposite of what we deserve. We deserve judgment. We deserve to be punished. But God gives us His mercy instead. You see, God deals with us in a manner that's completely opposite of what we deserve. The Bible says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He does not treat us according as our sins deserve. As far, the Bible says, as the east is from the west, God separates our sin from us. Have you ever done something? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's with the legal authorities. Maybe it was with friends that afterwards you were really, really, really ashamed of. And you just wish somehow you could make it disappear, but you know you can't. People saw you. People were there. It's on your record. It's permanent. It's not going away. Have you ever had that desire to just be cleansed? To just feel clean? And yet in the back of our mind, we know, we think to ourselves, yeah, the system doesn't work that way. I deserve what I got. Now, you know, we may have made a mistake in the heat of passion. We made a mistake in the heat of anger or in the heat of frustration. But nonetheless, it was made and we can't get rid of it. I want to share some things with you tonight that I believe if you grasp them, they literally can change your life. But it's very important that you grasp them. The first story I want to read is from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. Jesus is telling his disciples about the issue of forgiveness. And he says this, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him $1 million. The man couldn't pay. So the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. Now, let me explain something to you about ancient society. In ancient society, you didn't have a thing called bankruptcy, which is greatly misused in our society. In ancient society, you had what was called becoming an indentured servant. If you owed someone money, you borrowed money, and you did not pay it back, then they had permission to sell you as a servant till the debt was paid, till it was repaid. And this is what this king was going to do. This man owed him $1 million. That's a lot of money. And we don't know all the reasons why, this man could not pay it back. But the man fell down before the king and he begged him, "Oh, sir, be patient with me and I will pay all of it." Then the king was filled with compassion for him and he released him and forgave his entire debt. Now notice, this man was not asking to be forgiven. He was asking, "Be patient with me till I can pay the whole thing." But you see, this is the beauty of God. God always goes beyond our wildest expectations. This story that Jesus is telling is an illustration of our Heavenly Father. We have been sold as slaves to sin. Everything we do in our lives, we live, breathe, and move sin apart from Jesus Christ. The only potential possibility that we have to break the cycle of dysfunction and sin in our lives is when we allow God to take up residence in our life. And when He takes up residence in our life, we become a new person. And He then begins helping us learn new habits. But if you look out at our society today, you can channel surf through the cable television. You can listen to the news, listen to the radio. And it just seems that mankind just breathes in and out sin, rebellion, vileness, cruelty, abusiveness, selfishness, pride, arrogance, money-hungry, greedy, and corrupt. And we are by nature no different. And you see, what God does through Jesus Christ is He forgives us. He gives us mercy. In fact, think about it in a moment. Jesus Christ lived a spotless, sinless, perfect life. He was the Son of God. He's still alive today. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve to be beaten, to be tortured, to have his hair pulled out, his beard pulled out, his body racked with pain, whipped, the Bible tells us, until it was beyond human ability to recognize him as being human. The artists that paint the pictures of the crucifix are always far too artistic and kind. The Bible tells us you could not recognize Jesus Christ. When the Romans beat him, they beat him with a whip that had steel tips and lead balls and cut glass in the end of it. And they would wrap it around and whip it through your body time and time again until the nerves and the spine was exposed. Chunks of flesh hung from Jesus Christ. And they took a crown of thorns and they mashed it down on his head and then beat him over the head. They belittled him. They ripped his beard out with their fists. They spit in his face. "You think you've been mistreated? You want to find some comfort sometime when you feel you have been unjustly and unfairly treated? You ask yourself, have I gone through what he went through?" You and I, if I just be really honest with you, we deserve hell. Every single man, woman, person in the entire world deserves the penalty that God says we're going to get without Christ for sin. Christ didn't deserve any of it. He deserved us to worship Him, to serve Him, to love Him, and we gave Him just the opposite. You see, the Bible tells us that it was not really the Roman soldiers that put Jesus Christ on the cross, nor was it the Jewish leaders that put Christ on the cross. It was God the Father and our sin that put Christ on the cross. It was God the Father's plan trillions of years ago to create the world, to create you, and to send His Son to die just for you. God never intended that Adam and Eve would stay in the garden for all time. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. For God ever made the world, He knew Jesus is going to die. And it was God who took our sin, however you want to view it, either as figuratively, actually the Bible tells us it was literally, but I can't explain it to you because it was metaphysical and it was spiritual, but He lifted our sin from us and put it on Christ. And then the Bible says in Isaiah 53, God the Father crushed His Son so that He would not have to crush you. That's a lot of mercy. That is unbelievable mercy. Imagine how you would feel tonight if after the service, I came up to you, Greg came up to you, and he said, Mark and I just want to know, how much money do you owe? Well, you know, I owe $50,000 in student loans. I owe $5,000 in my car. All right, you send us all your bills. We're going to pay it. Then imagine how you would feel. Imagine the joy that would be in your heart and the tremendous exuberance at this weight gone off your back that it's, you're kidding. You're kidding. You're going to pay my bills. We're going to pay your bills. We're going to pay all of them. In fact, we're going to pay them the rest of your life. Christ has been paying our debt. He paid it one time, and it satisfied God. You owed Him millions of dollars. Someone wrote me last week. Very good question. They said, Mark, now I have a question. If God loves us so much and all that, and it doesn't matter what we do, then what's our motivation to love Him back? We just go do whatever we want. I've had that question for 25 years. Let me give you the same answer I've been telling over and over and over again. Jesus tells a story. He's at Simon the Pharisee's house, and Simon was a very religious, uppity-up, snobbish guy. Thought he was better than everybody else. While Jesus is at this wonderful meal and all these religious people are around, this woman comes in. Very, very attractive woman. Dressed as a harlot, because she was. She had beautiful, long, wavy hair. And she sits at Jesus' feet during the whole meal. Talk about poor timing. Yeah, think about this for a moment, guys. If this was your reputation on the line. Here's Jesus, God. And He's with all these religious people. And this harlot is bending over, crying on His feet, and wiping them with her hair. Simon says to himself, this is pathetic. What kind of a man is this? If he were a prophet, he would know what kind of a slut is touching him right now. That's what was going through his mind, and Jesus knew it. Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Say it, teacher, like, you know, he was Mr. Attentive. Jesus said, there was a moneylender, and he had loaned two men money. One man owed him $1 million. The other man owed him $10. Neither one of them could pay the debt, so he forgave them both. So Simon, I ask you, who do you think loved him the most? Well, it's obvious, teacher. The one who was forgiven the greatest debt. Yes, Simon, you have answered correctly. Since I came into your house, you haven't washed my feet, Simon. You haven't dried my feet. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased crying over my feet and wiping my feet with her hair. For her sins, which were many, were forgiven. Simon, he who's forgiven little loves little. He who's forgiven much loves much. Let me tell you a little secret. If you want to understand how much God loves you, then it's about time you understand how pathetic you really are. You see, that's the beauty. That's one of the powerful things in my life. I understand how pathetic and wicked I really am. I don't walk around hanging my head. Because I'm going to show you something in a minute that's really startling. God has made me brand new. But I never forget for one moment, not one day, that Mark Darling, without God's help, without Christ in my life, I would be a pathetic nothing. My wife would hate me. My kids would hate me. My mother would hate me. She already hated me. Well, I can't really say my mother hated me. I would have hated me if I was her. But I can tell you, if you saw my senior picture and you saw my mother standing next to me, she looks like a woman in mourning. I'm not lying. She can barely smile, and I have one of the cheeriest, happiest mothers you could ever meet. She was so saddened by the lifestyle that I had chosen to live. And you can see it on her face in the agedness, and how this just, she looks so forlorn. You see, I've been forgiven much. And I love Him much. God has forgiven you much. I want to read to you a very exciting verse out of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and it says this: God purchased our freedom with His blood, and He's forgiven all of our sins. And then this: as a result, we have been brought into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. Have you ever had a zit? I don't even like to call them that. I hate them. I'm 45 almost. I still get them. I hate them. But when I was young, I got them a lot. And you stand in the mirror and you look at yourself, and I don't know what came through your mind, but my mind was, you are a pathetic, ugly idiot. I don't even want to leave the house. We didn't have the kind of stuff you guys have today, the medication like Accutane and other things that you can do. We had nothing. Nothing. You know what I would have given when I was 17 to have been without a single blemish? You know what I had to give it? I mean, you probably stare at me tonight and notice that I look in the mirror, there's scars all over my face. I don't like them. The older I get, the more I can see them when I look in the mirror, from all the acne that I had. You know what I would have given when I was 17 to be without blemish? Well, let me tell you something better than that. You stand before God, and all that matters in the end is God. You see, we had a rude awakening this week, didn't we? 27-year-old Corey Stringer, dead. You're not supposed to die at 27, and especially of heat exhaustion. And you know what? You and I never know when our time is done. Let me tell you the secret. When it's done, and your spirit's leaving your body, and you see it leaving your body, because you'll see it leaving your body, and you're the presence of God, you're going to be really glad that you don't have any blemishes. You're going to be really glad that you have been clothed, as the Bible tells us, in the robes of righteousness that Jesus Christ gave you. Because I'll tell you what, you stand before God naked, it's going to feel unlike any feeling you've ever had in your life. And you don't want that to happen. There's only one way to ensure that doesn't happen. You need Christ. And for those of you who have Christ, the only way you're ever going to experience that emotional burst of joy, of vitality, is when you come to believe and accept, I am faultless in the eyes of God. That's what the Bible says. See, that's why the Bible is such a significant book. You believe it, it changes your life. But if you question that all your life, you're going to be one emotionally roughed up person. Because we stand, because of Christ, blameless, without a single fault. Did you know Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is now, right now, present tense, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. It's the most extraordinary feeling in the world. I have just two more quick passages and then we'll close. In the book of Hebrews, again, it says, we have a great high priest who has gone into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. For those of you who grew up maybe in a denomination where there were priests, there's nothing wrong with priests, but I want to make something really clear to you. There is no priest in the world that you need to confess any sin to. And in fact, you have a great high priest named Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 John, He is interceding for you all the time. He never stops. Let me tell you how good God has you covered. First of all, when Christ died for you, he paid for all your sin. When you accept Christ, he forgives all your sin. You're before Christ's sin and you're after Christ's sin. All your sin, your whole life, it's all gone. But then, in case any sin sneaks through, which it can't, the Bible says in 1 John, you're continually washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You ever seen a fire hose? You ever had a fire hose sprayed on you? I want you to imagine for a moment that in this hose I'm spraying with a fire hose, while the other, all the time, your friends are throwing mud at you. How long do you think the mud's going to stay on you with a fire hose on you? Not very long, if it even hits you at all. And in addition to that, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, "My little children, I write these things to you so you won't sin. If you do sin, you have a lawyer." That's what an advocate is. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is going before God. You ever been to court before? You go to court, you don't speak. Your lawyer speaks. You do nothing. God has you so covered. Listen then, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses and our human frailties. For he faced all the same temptations we do, but he never sinned. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it. And I'll tell you, I would not even be here tonight if it was not for this passage in the Bible. And you notice the Bible says, did you ever see the movie, I think it was called The Mission, with Robert De Niro? It's this movie and he, if I remember right, he kills this man in the heat of passion over a woman. And so he has to do penance all of his life, and he has to go live with these, might have been Jeremy Irons actually, it was one of them. They have to go live with these Indians, and he has to climb up this giant cliff carrying rocks as penance. I want to tell you something. Not only do you not have to grovel before God, not only do you not have to do penance, but you can come boldly right into God, say, "God, help me, I screwed up." It's okay, Mark. "God, help me, I need help." You get mercy. You don't get judgment. You don't get condemnation. You get mercy and grace to help you when you screw up. Because you have an understanding high priest. You have, you see, the Son of God who walked in your, not in your shoes, but in your body, who dealt with every single temptation you could possibly ever face. He understands how frail we are. He knows we're dust. God understands you. The last verse I'd like to read is actually one of the reasons I named my son Micah, to remind me of this verse for the rest of my life. It's in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, and it says, "Where is another God like you, Lord, who pardons the sins of his people? You cannot stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing mercy. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love as you promised." God delights in mercy. Do you know what we delight in? We delight in getting even. When somebody really wrongs us bad, or if they've wronged us the same wrong 50 or 60 times, we want vindication. And when we get it, we feel good about it. When somebody mean to us gets their due, doesn't it, you know, you just kind of go, "Oh, it just feels so good." You know what makes God feel good? Showing mercy. Do you know the Bible says God does not delight in the death of anyone? God delights in showing mercy. And he shows us that mercy permanently through his Son. And you can experience that mercy through Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ here tonight, you've already experienced it, and there's more to experience because you're going to keep falling on your face the rest of your life. But God has mercy. You know what else I like? There are things in my life, there are things that happened that, as I said earlier, I wish they could just go away. I know there's been times as a father that I've said things, that I've reacted in anger, that I just wish I can erase from my children's memory. And sometimes it overwhelms me. I'll be driving, I'll be alone in prayer, and it'll just, even now, it'll bring me to tears. And I think, oh God, I'm just so ashamed of that. I was so stupid. If I'd have just held my tongue, if I'd have just thought it through. And, fortunately, I have children that each know the Lord and have shown me extraordinary mercy in my life, but still, I wished I could just erase it from their memory. You have no idea how comforting it is for me to know that God throws it in the bottom of the ocean where no one can ever find it. And that God takes all those things and He just tramples them under His feet. All the things that you like to get rid of, He's getting rid of. He's already gotten rid of. That's unexpected. That's what's so awesome about the Christian God. That's so awesome about the God of the Bible. He pardons us. Rather than exacting retribution, He pardons us. And not only does He pardon us, but He makes us one of His own children. Not only does He make us one of His own children, but we get to live with Him and enjoy all of His riches forever and ever. And it does not matter whether you ever become a preacher or an evangelist. Get a hold of these things. You get a hold of these things, you're going to need them the rest of your life. They will change your life. They will empower you. They will fill you with vitality. They'll fill you with joy when you don't feel like being joyful, because you realize, I always have a reason for joy. Though there'll be sorrow, though there'll be grief, there's always a reason shortly after to come back to what you've got. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the extraordinary gift that You've given us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't deserve it. I do not deserve it. It awes me, Lord. It blows my mind that You are so forgiving, that You are so kind, that You are so generous to those who not only did not deserve it, but we were rebels against You. We took up arms against You. We fight You tooth and nail. Yet, You decided to love us, Lord. You know, it's amazing to me, Lord. We love people because of things. We love them because they're pretty. We love them because they're nice to us. We love them because they do nice things for us. But, Lord, You love us simply because You love. You don't love us because we're cool. You don't love us because we've done everything right. You don't love us because we're so lovable. You love us and You forgive us because it is Your pure 100% through and through nature to do so. God, I just want You to know, because of that, I love You back. Thank You for this night. Drive these things home in each heart in Jesus' name.